I think it's safe to say that a lot of you out there are coffee lovers. You probably brew something fresh every morning, or maybe you run to a local coffee shop or drive-thru on your way to work each morning. But have you ever taken the time to think about what is in your coffee or the other additives you add, like your coffee creamer? Well, Laird Superfood could help you up your coffee game with an entirely new coffee experience. With Laird, you'll get better ingredients, amazing taste, and functional benefits. All products are sustainably sourced and thoroughly tested to ensure that you are incorporating the cleanest, finest fuel into your routine. Their coffees are made from all-natural, whole food ingredients, contain naturally occurring MCTs from coconut oil, have no artificial flavors, colors, or additives. And the Laird Superfood creamers are crafted from the highest quality, all-natural, real food ingredients. Are you ready to feel more energized, focused, and supported? Go to LairdSuperfood.com and add nourishing plant-based foods to fuel you from sunrise to sunset. Use our promo code GOPODCAST at checkout to save 15% off your purchase today. Hey everybody, welcome to another bonus episode of the Go Get Outside podcast. This is your host, Jason Milligan. Welcome back, welcome aboard. Today we will be getting backcountry meal tips from Ryan Payne. He and I and our friend Scott went on a week-long backpacking trip through the Sierra Nevada back in July of 2023. And because it had been an especially rainy winter in California, we knew that the trail was going to be more challenging than usual. And I had asked both of them to record audio diaries in case it would make for an interesting episode. And when I received Ryan's audio files, it was this instead. 20 minutes of him talking about his meal prep and his meal strategy. And I think for a lot of people, this is going to be pretty damn interesting. Ryan makes some of the best food I ever see anyone make. Making on a backpacking trip. Usually I'm eating crap, just dehydrated meals or processed snacks that I've brought along, things I wouldn't normally eat in the front country. Meanwhile, Ryan is cooking dinners and creating things that would be delicious on the trail or off. So I invite you all to just sit back right now and listen to Ryan give you advice on all of the following things. How he squeezed 5 days of food into a 3-day bear can, various flavor enhancers that he recommends to improve your food experience, his breakfast recommendation, his approach to dinners, and how he takes a variety of elements and prepares them differently day to day so he has a different dining experience. The various experimental ways that he diversifies flavor, his snack strategy, trail cocktails, and then his final tips on how you can have a superior backcountry meal experience. So sit back, enjoy it. We'll be back January 16th with a regular episode. And so here you go. Here's Ryan Payne.
Okay, new topic. Let's talk about the 5 days of food in a 3-day bear can scientific approach. Just kidding. It's not scientific, but it is a little bit of an innovation, and there are some perils with it. I read about this online, a guy that talked about how many calories he was able to, to densely stuff into a 5-day bear can, bragging about how he and his son were going to do this. And strangely, there was no follow-up note of, hey, here's how it worked or didn't work. Here's what I would do differently. It was just sort of a breadcrumb end, and a disappearance of the trail. So the tricks are to homogenize the food, to portion out breakfasts, which are all the same, dinners, which are all the same, in terms of ingredients and macronutrient profiles, but then also have some flavor enhancements that are smaller packets. So now you've got bags of food in these very thin, grocery store vegetable bags that easily tear. But those are somewhat necessary in the sense that they can fill up all of the negative space within the bear can and more efficiently use that volume. What takes up most of the volume in the bear can is still going to be, snacks for the day. Your bars, your tuna packs or cheese, peanut butter, almond butter, whatever you have. But those things are going to take up more space. And then also tortillas. So a couple of things he did was he said, okay, put the tortillas in the bottom and then layer the sides of the bear can with the bars because they're flat. Tuna packs because they lay flat, and the almond butter or peanut butter packs because they also can lay flat. Now you've got this space in the middle that can be efficiently utilized for your larger bags of your breakfast and your dinners. You know, and of course, then there are probably drinks like coffee, tea, electrolytes, or other things that you may take. I like to take flavor enhancements that are natural, like garlic. I brought a serrano pepper this time, and that serrano pepper is just great. And the garlic's beautiful at night. But the issue then becomes, you know, yes, you can fit it all in, but can you get to things when you need them? Meaning, can you efficiently find what you need in the order in which you need it to extract it and portion it out for the day? And the answer is fuck no. And particularly with these perilous bags that can easily tear if they're caught on anything, even the edge of the bear can. And so that has become the learning process here. So the question is not, can it be done? But how can you improve it? Because it can be done, but there are limitations to it. You can fit 5 days of food into a 3-day bear can. Yes. But can you take that out and out 2 times a day and get to it without damaging things and having to repack it perfectly every single time, even as the volume decreases? As the volume decreases, some of the edges on the packaging is more exposed, and that can tear into the small and very thin grocery store bags. Luckily, Jason had some thicker Ziploc bags that I used to now put the food into, and I think that next time I would take those as well, just empty, large, you know, gallon sized or whatever they are, the larger sized Ziploc bags that are thicker and have more durability, and as the volume decreases, replace those plastic bags that are going to tear. It's 100%. Let's talk specialty items. So some of the things I like to take to do flavor enhancements are maybe a Japanese type stew where I'm adding a tonkatsu sauce on top. You know, the garlic, I'm adding some maybe serrano chili peppers to get some spice and some heat into the evening meal. And then maybe some sesame seeds, some dried onion. So I talked about homogenization of the food and the portioning of it. So breakfast is the same every morning. It is about 1 cup of oatmeal mixed with a tablespoon each of chia seed, hemp seeds, ground flax seed, and then a scoop of flavored protein powder, and that is going to affect a lot of the flavor and give you a lot of the sugar. I believe I did add some sugar as well, mainly to counteract the more plain flavors of the coconut milk powder that I used to get the fat in there for the better macronutrient balance, and then a bit of salt for flavor enhancement, and then some cinnamon for balancing the sugars that are in there, so you get a very even dose of all your macros, carbs, protein, fat, sugars, salts, and other flavors that are in there. The flavor that I took this time was a mixture of protein powders that included salted caramel and banana bread, and it's pretty good. Dinner comes in 2 bags. One is the starch bag, which is couscous, equal parts couscous and fully loaded baked potato, powderized baked potatoes, with dehydrated vegetables and dehydrated roasted sweet potatoes, and a little bit of shiitake mushroom powder. I'm able to portion that into bags, and then also add a protein and a kind of a stew mix, if you will, which is spicy pork sausage has been mixed with stewed tomatoes, bell pepper, onion, lots of spinach, and it's got some great flavors in it, really rich flavors, roasted, you know, and cooked, and then blitzed to homogenize it, and then put onto dryer sheets where it's dried, and then it comes out as flakes, and then you blitz those again to get it back to powder, and then bag it up. When I combine the 2 bags, I combine to cook them. I combine about 1/2 cup of the starch mix and about 1/2 cup of the protein and vegetable mix, which is already quite a bit of flavor. It's actually fine to just eat that. But I've removed a lot of the fat is something that can go rancid even when it's dehydrated. So a lot of the fat has been removed. And so carrying with me a spiced olive oil that has some garlic, chili flake, and peppers in it, and about, you know, maybe a tablespoon of two of that in there to balance the macros. And that's your meal. You could live on that. And it's actually pretty tasty. You know, and a lot of the drivers and the starch mix are the whatever mashed potato packet you're using, you know, flavored. But to give yourself variety, you need some sort of flavor. And, you know, right now I'm just experimenting. But some of the curries that come as cubes in the Japanese sections, or the, I think some Indian places will have them, just a small cube of a curry seasoning. That could probably be dehydrated also, but I didn't. I just took one cube of it and took that with me. So that'll be one meal. Japanese ramen base will be another, with tonkatsu sauce. With sesame seeds. There could be an Italian one with Parmesan and some dehydrated tomatoes, or sun-dried tomatoes rather. You can get all sorts of combinations in there. But I think I've learned a lot from YouTube videos, and that's a lot of fun to do, but it's totally unnecessary. You could literally live on the basics of just combining the couscous mix or starch mix with the spicy veggie and protein mix, and add some oil. And it's hot and delicious every evening, and I look forward to it. Pro tip on the sauces. Yeah, I think that having, you know, Asian chili sauce or a sriracha type sauce is really nice. French is mustard, you know, it's not something I really want at home, but it's great on the trail. I think ketchup is a zero. I think it has really no value. But relish, another thing that I really don't eat much at home, but it makes so much sense, you know, with like a plain tuna or something. It's great. But really, I think the more exotic of the sauce that you can find, you know, maybe going to Chick-fil-A or some of the gas stations that that have mini markets where you can kind of take what you want, you know, or flavor packets that you collect over time, you know, as you don't use them at home or you want to replace them with something else that you use, or you think, oh, that would be great on trail, take two, take three, you know, have some extras so you can pack them. I don't really think that taking honey is a good option, because if it bursts, you've really got a problem. It's some of the stickier stuff. If it gets inside your bear can, I just think it's just too high risk for me. But some people love it, you know, and they want sugar. I think you just take sugar, take brown sugar, and it's just easier and it has less risk. Snacks are portioned into four snacks per day rather than having one lunch. So tortilla with some sort of tuna pack, probably flavored. But if it's not flavored, the ones that are plain in olive oil are delicious and add a lot of richness, but they do require having some sort of flavor packet with it. Yesterday I had a Chick-fil-A honey mustard barbecue sauce that was divine, and that would definitely be done again. But you could also go spicy, tapatio, you know, whatever you want. Barbecue sauce, it's fun. One of my favorite snacks or lunches is a charcuterie plate, which is just, you know, one of those Baby Bell cheeses, a packet of Trader Joe's olives with some sort of meat stick, and maybe some of your trail mix, you know, some sort of fruit, some nuts. So good. Look forward to that one. And then maybe the next one is a bar, protein bar of your choice, or a payday bar. If you don't know paydays, you best learn. Some sort of tortilla with flavored packet of peanut butter or almond butter are really delicious. And an end of the day boost as you're trying to kick up your energy and keep your motivation as you're coming into camp. And then I'm always munching on trail mix. I think you gotta bring trail mix. It's just sort of something that you can keep in your side pack and munch on in between meals, keep your energy levels up. One of my favorite ones is one that I learned from Chef Corso, Monty Boca. I believe he's changed his name, but he made a really, really great one that has a lot of different potentials. You can use any type of nuts, any type of fruit, but the keys here are that it's a savory sort of palate. So adding in French's fried onions, which are just amazing. You know, it tastes like a nice meal. You have those with some Old Bay seasoning, and then adding in either dried apricot. I used dried mango this time. Walnuts, pistachios, and some pepitas, and it is just divine. It's a really great mix, one that I really look forward to. One of the ones that is most calorie dense and very colorful, actually, is mac nuts with peanut M&Ms and dried cherries. That one was from another website where the guy broke down every single variable and said that this was the most calorie dense per ounce. It does have some volume to it, though, that's, you know, unavoidable, because the mac nuts are whole. Could that be blitzed into a powder? Yeah, but it'd be practically inedible. You'd have to eat it with a spoon. Okay, last topic, cocktails on the trail. The answer to your question is, fuck yes, you can do it. And I think it makes your alcohol go further. You know, I have a small sachet. It's a sachet or sachet. It's about maybe 8 ounces of liquor. And so that's quite a bit, but when you're sharing it, it doesn't go very far. And really, you know, when you're talking about, you know, one shot is 1 ounce, it's gonna be 2 ounces, it's really not that much. So, you know, you really wanna make that go further, make that more enjoyable, more palatable. I think a couple key things are to carry, you know, one of those Country Time lemonade packs, some brown sugar, and a lime, pack the lime in. And from there, adding a bit of water with, you know, really any strong whiskey, rye, or rum is a great, great, great end of day cocktail. If you're able to macerate the lime into the sugar and the Country Time lemonade to give yourself that kind of backwoods mountain style sweet and sour sauce, or sweet and sour mix rather, and then adding in your alcohol to make yourself a very balanced cocktail. It's delicious, refreshing, and it was the precursor to a great nap last night. I suppose you could always, you know, play with that formula. And, you know, I have a Jolly Rancher watermelon packet that would probably also be pretty nice, you know, a little more of a confection type cocktail. And then, you know, there's always fruit punches. I have a root beer one that could be used, you know, if that was more your flavor profile. The lime really added a lot, macerating it, added a bit of texture, while also keeping the lime skin in there as well and expressing that so that the oils get out in there. Trying to gain as much flavor as you can in the cocktail, you know, as possible with the least amount of ingredients and the most packable ingredients. I think a key there would probably be also to add just a touch of salt, you know, a Himalayan or sea salt, you know, where you've got some minerals in there as well. So it could be sort of rehydrating at the same time that alcohol is dehydrating. So probably the net effect would be zero, but you know, it would be more guilt-free as a cocktail option. One more note on the cocktails is that the coldest water that you can possibly find fresh from the stream is the best, because you don't have ice. So you're gonna try to make it as cold as possible and integrate the flavors as much as possible. But coldness does tend to be the best experience. And then macerating the lime into it and just leaving all that in there. You know, it's good stuff, might as well eat it. No waste, less to pack out. Pro tip on the cocktails, they can be pre-mixed into the container that you're putting them into. I'm using rye with a bit of amaretto. Other liqueurs would probably be just as effective depending on what type of flavor profile you want. And so you can go in different directions and have that available to drink straight rather than having to endure, you know, something like a straight whiskey or a straight rye or even a straight rum. You know, I think that those things are just less palatable for most people. To make a cocktail with two ingredients is pretty nice. To make it with more is really nice. Using brown sugar, I think, is better. It has some molasses in it, and it tends to take to water a bit faster and mix in to water quicker than just table sugar. Some of the things that have to be surrendered in with doing a 5-day food into a 3-day beer can are bulkier items that, you know, are really enjoyable, but, you know, just don't quite make the cut. Goldfish, for instance. Gummy bears actually probably could make it, but I just didn't. Cookies, unfortunately. God, some butter cookies right now with some peanut butter. God, I'd kick your ass for one of those, but, you know, not available. You know, I think when you're able to homogenize your food, get it consistent and get the sizing consistent, I think that's gonna be key in actually doing it. Having a smaller bear can means you can carry a smaller pack and maybe have a lighter pack, a frameless pack, and then the whole system becomes lighter, not just because your bear can is smaller, even though it weighs literally as much as, you know, because it's dense, it weighs as much as the larger bear cans, but it's more packable. And then you can, you know, just fit more and the system improves. And I think each one of those systematic improvements has follow-on effects of then allowing you to carry something else that's a luxury item or fit more in your bag or just have a more enjoyable trail experience. So what would I improve with the optimizing a 3-day bear can from what I read online? So one that I've already talked about is having the backup more durable large Ziploc bags to replace the thin bags that are going to fail at some point but are necessary to fill out the internal volume originally day one. Now, as you consume the food, you're gonna have more volume available to you. But like I said, there are more edges because the food will get into a different array and something will get cut, it will get torn. It might even get torn as you set it down. So I think you need a large space where you can pull the things out and set them down, not on the ground. So probably like a bandana might work. I use Tyvek in front of me to have some space to sit down and sort of have countertop space, if you will, in front of me, so I can cook and cut things on a cutting board, which I bring, and a small knife. The other thing that I would improve is the prioritization of loading. Putting all of your tortillas on the bottom is a great option if you're just trying to be space efficient, but it's not very efficient when you're trying to get to things on a daily basis, especially when tortillas are required, you know, two per day. If I'm using them for one for my tuna and one for my peanut butter, I don't want them on the bottom. It means I have to dump everything out to get to them and then reload everything. So I think the orientation would be that the tortillas would be on their side with the Ziploc facing up so you can get to them, and it becomes easier as the bear can becomes less dense. The vertical alignment of the bars and the peanut butters and the tuna packs will allow you to easily find them because you can see them pretty much from the outside. So, you know, labels facing out would be a good option. And then the more bulkier stuff can go in the middle of the bottom, but I would stagger them. I think that's one of the more important parts, is that day one, I couldn't find any of my evening decaffeinated teas because they were all below the tortillas. That doesn't really help me, especially if they're all together. So I would stagger them in terms of usage. For drinks, I have coffee in the morning. I do prefer the Starbucks Via. They are the most space efficient and the richest. They cost a bit more, but it's worth it. During the day, hydration packs are also different flavors of, you know, small lemonades that are about the same size, or watermelon, fruit punch, you know, all sorts of things. There are also ones that are more specific for rehydration, including minerals and salts. And then at night, I like decaffeinated teas. But also I like to bring a magnesium supplement, which relaxes me at night and helps me sleep. So that's in a small pack. And then because I'm in my 40s, Metamucil is something that that is necessary for me on the trail. And I have a bit of that, and that just sort of keeps everything going. But, you know, it's something that, you know, I can't deny that that's part of it, part of the experience. One of the things that would help, I think, improvement in terms of optimizing the 5-day bear can, or 5-day food of the 3-day bear can. One of the things that optimizes this is also to have all of your breakfast stuff together. You know, if you put in the bag your coffees with the oatmeal and you can pull the packets out really easily, only one thing has to come out. You don't have to go searching for it. For dinners, you know, if you're having tea with dinner, I don't know, throw the teas in the bag. I think that makes it easier. It's easier to find things when you need them. And then the only thing you're really searching for in the morning, or maybe to set yourself up with your snacks for the day, which probably get transferred into some sort of different bag, food bag, that will go to ease the accessibility of them on the trail.